Camden. That must mean
I got to start, right? Greetings to all of us from our denomination's CEO, Tammy Swanson Dreheim, who preached a whale of a message on Friday evening, and from our conference superintendent, Kara Stromberg. Most of you know that I was at the, Jeffrey and I actually were at the annual conference meeting the last couple of days, and our ECC president attended, which was really cool. So yesterday, Dr. Todd Bolsinger spent the day with us, sort of like a mini conference thing. And the good news I have is that, according to his estimation, which he presented, I didn't talk to him personally, we are, as a church, right on track. We've got some steps ahead of us. And I'll give you the third step, which is probably a couple of years away, but just so you can start getting ready for it, his third step is irk, annoy, prod, which of course means looking at new stuff. It isn't going to be comfortable. What do we got to do to get there? Thanks to Jeffrey, we have enough of these stickers now. They're on the back table, and these stickers are the 1002 stickers based on we need to pray for laborers in the field, not just our denomination, by the way. Dr. Bolsinger was talking about, and he works across many different evangelical and conservative denominations. He says the seminaries just don't have kids in them. We just have a real need in the body of Christ. He talked a little bit about the missionary field and how many missionaries are retiring or close to retiring, and the fields are sort of vacant. And the blessing of indigenous churches, ministries, missionaries who have built indigenous ministries rather than relying on missionaries from the United States or any foreign country. So this 1002, the idea of it is you set your alarm for 1002. To remember daily to pray that the Lord send laborers into the harvest. And of course, we know that need very well on the range and in the covenant, since we have been struggling for leadership, pastors specifically, in the covenant churches. This week, on Tuesday, the ladies will be having lunch at Little Gourmet Deli, correct? That's still on. And then, of course, the highlight of the week is the annual Covenant Women Salad Supper. So if you haven't made your reservations, now's the time to do that. It's important because they need to know numbers to be able to put this together. Rebecca LeManager will be ministering. I have never heard her. I know she's been in the church before, but somehow I missed that. So I've talked to a few people this week with just glowing reports of how she is able to minister to us from a practical perspective.
Okay.
Okay.
She knows how to tell a story.
Yes. That, yeah, that's the other thing I heard,
and
too.
She's a librarian.
So she knows stories. Next week is Mother's, next Sunday is Mother's Day, so there will not be any Sunday school, and I'm thinking likely not any coffee time afterwards, but you're welcome to stay for coffee time, but some of you will be going off to family get-togethers for Mother's Day. I think that is the announcements for today. The call to worship for today is the greeting that I bring to you from the conference annual meeting to let us know that they are continuously in prayer for us. I did get to talk to a couple in leadership, and they understand the struggles that not only some of the rural churches are having, but some of the metropolitan churches are having as well. But the greeting was to stick by following Jesus. Don't give up. Don't get diverted. Don't get distracted. Just stay on track. So with that, if you'd like to open your hymnals to 259, I have this one all set up for you if you'd like to.
Christ is a love. Christ is alive, let Christians sing, the cross stands empty to the sky, streets and homes with praises ring, all drowned in death and never die.
Lord Jesus, we stand here once again today celebrating that you conquered death. We stand here celebrating that we serve a living God. We stand here today honoring you, glorifying the name of Jesus, Yeshua, glorifying our Father God, Yahweh, Jehovah, and declaring that you are the one and only and mighty God forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. The first lesson is going to be Psalm 30, and that'll be on page 418 of your pew Bible. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Second lesson is going to be John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19, and that will be on page 829 of your pew Bible. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, It is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger and you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God.
If you turn in your hymnals to number 963, and let's pray this in unison in preparation for our offering time. Let us pray. "And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. For who are we that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." Amen.
Keep your hymnals and turn to 333. We're going to stay at the lakeshore.
You may go.
Smiling, have spoken my name. Now
the shoreline behind me. By your side, I will seek other seas. You, who have fished other oceans, ever longed for my souls who are waiting, my loving friend. So now you me, and while smiling, spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. By your side, I will seek other seas.
Let's stand for doxology.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
While we pray. Lord, we give these gifts to you with gratefulness and joy in our hearts. You have been so good to us, such a blessing. We bless you through the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Yeah, I'm going to do it right. So Jeffrey and I are coordinating things up here. We've been coordinating for 3 days because we lodged together during the conference. Jeffrey is a perceptive and I'm a perceptive. That's from the Myers-Briggs type indicator. For those not familiar with that, we scatter and gather. The first one would be a picture of our motel room. And the second would be how we coordinate getting to the meetings. I got lost over and over and over again. So yesterday was at Minnehaha Academy. So Jeffrey wrote the directions down to get to Minnehaha Academy. And I'm following the directions and I got my GPS going. And we got to, what's the name of that street?
But I sent you also a picture.
Yes, right. Yes, drew out a diagram. And so we got to this very last street. And according to his directions, I'm to turn right. And my GPS is saying turn left. So you get a picture. I was trying to follow my GPS to find the, what, 7 blocks between the motel and the church. And like I say, I got lost every single time. So I have more trust in Jeffrey than I do in my GPS at this point. That's sort of an introduction, sort of a humorous introduction to where we are at with the Lord. And it was talked about a little bit at the conference too. We live in really strange times. But we don't have a GPS called Jesus. We've got a person called Jesus, and we can follow him. So if you would pray with me. Once again, our resurrected Lord, we come to you today with just grateful hearts. We thank you for these couple of beautiful days, spring, hope of summer. We thank you for friends, for family. We thank you for each other. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your people, your children. As was read in your word in the Gospel of John today, children, friends, all throughout the world. Lord, we pray for your church, your people, wherever they may be, for strength, encouragement, hope, and also for companions on the journey. Because we need you and we need each other in these times. Keep us strong in the midst of all the chaos and the confusion and the misdirection and actual deception in the world today. We would ask that you would work in our individual lives to keep us on track with you, focused on you as you lead us to our Father, as you bring us to our Father, your Father and our Father. Each and every day, but ultimately all together in a worship service like none of us have ever experienced. We glorify you forever, honor you forever. We stand as believers who say in our hearts, we will not be moved. We will not be changed. We have committed ourselves to that journey in the song that we just sung together. We will continue on. And so we thank you for your distinct and specific help when we encounter detours and bumps in the road, frustrations, obstacles, annoyances, and even outright attacks. We thank you for your help to get us through all of them so that we can continue on. And so for all of this and so much more, our precious Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and glory through your precious, wonderful, powerful name, the name of Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, Son of man. Amen.
Turn to 261. 261, Jesus Christ is risen today.
Thank you.
We are going to spend our time in John chapter 21 this morning, so you can turn to that if you would like to. That is the scripture that Andrew read for us today and Roger selected to be read. But I'd like to pray ahead of time. Your word, O God. Your word, O high and holy Adonai. Your word to us you have given. And because we want to receive your word into our heart, we would ask the gift that you have given to make that happen, your Holy Spirit, to be active in our lives today with your word. Amen. I'm going to come down. This is not to diss Jeffrey. This is to illustrate what we began talking about last week. Last week I called Jesus the new Jesus. And of course, he's not the new Jesus. That was just sort of a label to get you to try to think about a change that has happened with Jesus in his life just prior to his crucifixion. A shift that started with him that's going to be illustrated today in the verses that were already read for us. That shift began in John chapter 11. And continues on for 11 chapters in John. Everybody does math, figure that out. John is the only gospel writer who captures that change in Jesus. And it's interesting to me because he is the one that captures that change in Jesus. And you say, what is that change? Well, if you remember, Jesus came to just before Jerusalem, and the Word of God says that he knew his work was completed. Wait a minute, he had to go to the cross yet, right? So his work wasn't completed. But what it's talking about is that first part of his mission or ministry was completed. Well, what was that? His first mission was to present to the Jewish people their Messiah. And their response? They rejected him. We know that. Not all. He had a few followers, okay? But overall, he faced rejection over and over again, and you know that there were times they tried to kill him. They were unsuccessful. But the main rejection came from the Jewish religious leaders. Partly why I'm so interested in exalting the name of Jesus, so that we, as me, as a leader, exalt Jesus. We must exalt Jesus. The other part of that interests me and sort of perplexes Christians is John calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, he's full of it, isn't he? I take a little bit different view of that. And I know we say that humorously, and that's a good example used in many sermons. The view I take of it is John was the one that really got it, that Jesus loved him. And that's why he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think that's why he refers to himself in the third person all through the Gospel of John. He's not interested in talking about himself. He just knows he's loved. And in verse 7, it says, the disciple therefore whom Jesus loved, in the Greek, it says, the disciple therefore whom Jesus was loving. It's a change in John's wording from before. This is after the resurrection. Not only did he get it before, he has gotten it better now. This was an ongoing relationship. Jesus loved me. But that old Sunday school song, Jesus loves me. Every day, all the time. There's only two appearances to the disciples so far before we begin John chapter 21. And here we find seven disciples sitting around by the lake. They've got nothing to do because Jesus appears and then disappears, and they don't know what's up. And they don't know when they're going to even see him next, or if they're going to be seeing him next, except that he had told them, I am going to visit you in Galilee. And so they're hanging around in that area, but nothing's happening. So Peter, good old Peter, he says, I'm going fishing. I like how you read that, by the way. And the others go, might as well. And so off they go, and you know the story. And they come back empty-handed, verse 5, and I know what the International Version says. It says, Jesus therefore said to them, friends, don't you have any fish? The Greek says, children. And that to me is significant, because he called his disciples' friends. Remember when they were in the upper room? This is a new word for Jesus. Children. And it reminds me of that Old Testament prophecy, which I've struggled with through the years, where Jesus would be called Everlasting Father. And every time I've read that scripture, I've gone, I don't get that. Jesus is going to be called Everlasting Father. We already have an Everlasting Father. And of course, it took me a little analytical brain to figure that out. This word here, children. Jesus is our Father. And our Father is our Father. We are the children of Jesus. This special mission that Jesus was on to win children to the kingdom. And so he is our Father as our Father is our Father as well. And you know the story. He tells them, cast the nets out and they get a bunch of fish. A lot of fish, actually. And then in verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus was loving turns to Peter and says, it's the Lord. It's a miracle. It's the Lord. That's the connection for John. And Peter, of course, good old Peter, dives into the water and swims 100 yards to shore. Anybody here swam 100 yards? I've done, okay, Roger has, good for you. I've done like a length of a pool, okay, Brian. Okay. A length of a pool, and I got to the other end of the pool. I started at the deep end, by the way, because I knew if I couldn't make it, there was a shallow end, just in case, okay. I am not a swimmer, and I'm not a runner either. These short, stubby legs, when I was in the military and we had to qualify, I wasn't the last one in, but I was trailing those long-legged runners. And so Peter dives in, and he meets Jesus on the shore, and there's this discussion, but before the discussion, there's already a fire built. There's already bread cooked, and there's already fish cooked, already prepared. Jesus' encounter with his disciples, he's ready for them. He's inviting them. And we know the story. I just love Peter in a way. I'm not a Peter kind of personality, but I just love him in a way. Jesus says, bring some fish. I'm thinking, I go to the net, take out a couple of fish. And no, Peter, he goes and drags the whole net of fish up on the shore. And then took a couple of fish out of it. Jewish people were small people, by the way. Average man was shorter than I am. And so you got to see, this guy must have just been like Atlas build to be able to do that. And he drags it onto shore. And Jesus says, come on, you guys, let's have some breakfast. Very important to me in verse 13. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. In the Greek, it says this: Jesus took the bread and gave it to them. Does that remind you of anything? It reminds me of the bookends of our Holy Week. Remember, we talked about that last week. We had Monday, Thursday, 2 weeks before Holy Week. And we have it again today. Jesus takes the bread and gives it to them. An unusual behavior for a bunch of guys sitting around eating, because they just usually took what they wanted. But Jesus takes the bread and gives it to them. And then in verse 14, we're told this is the third time. This is only the third time Jesus has appeared to his disciples. I want you to notice one other change in Jesus, and that is his greeting. Back in chapter 20, verse 21 would be an illustration. His greeting, peace be with you, or as we know, shalom, peace to you. Peace, prosperity, success, love, grace, hope. That's what that word shalom contains and more. Shalom means everything good that you can have. That's what I wish for you. Now, what's the change in Jesus? To me, the change is his mission to the Jews is done. His mission to the cross is done. Now, what's Jesus' new mission? What's Jesus' new mission? As I mentioned last week, now it's personal. It is Jesus' relationship with you, one-on-one. Jesus' relationship with me, one-on-one. That's the new mission. That's the new Jesus. Jesus isn't saving the church. Jesus is saving you. Jesus is saving me. Which brings me to the last part of that chapter, and that is the discussion with Peter. We talk about the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to the nations, discipling them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This particular passage or discussion with Peter is the pastoral Great Commission, the Great Commission for pastors. Mike, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know my heart. Well then, verse 15, tend my lambs. What are lambs? The little ones. The ones that are at risk, vulnerable. We talk about the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan. We have one other category that's added to the Church of Christ, and that is the lambs that are on the outskirts. The lambs who may not be in church on Sunday morning. Tend my lambs. They are his. How do they get reached? How do they get healed? How do they get prayed with? And then in verse 16, same discussion. Part 2 of the pastoral Great Commission. Shepherd my sheep. What does a shepherd do? He watches the flock of sheep, takes care of it, makes sure they're safe and sound, makes sure they get food, makes sure they get water. And like I told you a few weeks ago with my discussion with Tom, when I was up in Cook, who raised sheep, who told me they can drink themselves to death. One other task is to make sure they don't drink themselves to death. Make sure they don't eat too much, because sheep will tend to do that. And then the third discussion, which we looked at last week as well. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. So not just tending the lambs, but tending the sheep, the flock as well. But the most important point from that discussion, and I mentioned this last week as well, the most important point, and you find it in your Bibles in a way, the New International Version does a nice job with this. Jesus used a Greek word, agape, with his discussion with Peter. Peter, do you agapao me? Do you love me with the kind of love that God has for his people? Unrestricted, always giving, always generous, always gracious, even, the word says, even to evil and unbelieving men. That's what God is like. He just keeps giving them. He keeps giving them food. He keeps giving them air to breathe, and on and on. Do you love me with that kind of love? And Peter responds, I'm your friend. You know I'm your friend. I have stuck with you for 3.5 years. You know I'm your friend. And then that same discussion is repeated the second time. And then on the third time, Jesus changes. This new Jesus, who is so personal. Christianity is no longer a movement to Jesus. It's no longer a saving of the nation of Israel. That's done. It's no longer a saving of the world. That redemption is completed at the cross and the resurrection. No, the new Christianity is one-on-one, us with Jesus, every day, hard times, good times. And so what Jesus does, first time in his ministry, you know, Jesus has this standard. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How many like that standard? Well, maybe I should phrase that differently. How many have struggled with that standard? I sure have. Now Jesus changes all these standards. And now, for the first time in his ministry, he changes his standard. His standard was, Peter, do you agapao me? And just Peter just couldn't move to that level. And so what does Jesus do? His third conversation with him. Peter, do you phileo me? Which is the word that Peter used. Are you my friend? Okay, you can't reach the standard yet. We'll work on that. Are you my friend? And of course, Peter, I wasn't there, but I kind of imagine Peter goes, wow, okay, yes, I for sure definitely can say, I am your friend. I don't know if these few weeks that we followed the life of Jesus impacts you the way that it impacts me. To try to walk in the footsteps of the disciples and move through this transition of frustration and pain and unknown and all that kind of stuff, and then come to the place where Jesus and me, we're just friends. I love him, and he loves me. That's the Gospel of John from chapter 11 through chapter 21. It's the only place you get it. This Christianity is personal. It's one-on-one, which is why we love believers, no matter what flavor, what color, what clothes they wear, what kind of hairstyle they have, what anything. If they're believers in Jesus, we're family. Even if they, yeah, think differently, believe differently. That happens. You know why it happens? Because that standard, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, is way up there. And we're still on the path heading that direction. We are one in Christ. Amen. As we prepare for communion, I'd like you to turn to number 943. And if you would share with me this confession. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord God.
It is good to have you.
All glory is yours, eternal God, who made the universe. We praise you for this earth, for life and breath, for beauty we have seen and wonder still to come. From the beginning, your living word has guided and corrected us. Your prophets have called us from disobedience and prepared us for the coming of your Son. We praise you for the Christ who chose to come as one of us and lived among us full of grace and truth. For he has become poor and knew the sadness in our days. For us he died on the cross and was buried. In him we know forgiveness and lifting of burdens. He brings to the darkness and opens our eyes to your great glory. For you raised him from the dead and set him over all creation. Through your Holy Spirit we are members of his body, the church, and heirs of the promise of eternal life. Therefore, with grateful hearts, we join the faithful who in all times and places praise your name, saying, Holy, 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 God of power and majesty, heaven and earth are full of your glory, O God Most High. Holy Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembering me. We remember you, Lord Jesus, as you commanded. Confident we shall know you in the breaking of the bread. We remember you, O Christ, confident you will seal the new covenant in our hearts as we drink the cup. O Holy Spirit, who brought us here to proclaim the risen Lord, unite us in one body with him who loved us and gave himself for us. O God, who called us from death to life, we give ourselves to you, and with the church through all ages, we thank you for your saving love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray with me the prayer of Paul from 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus, our Lord, according to your word and according to the recommendations of your apostle Paul, we come to the Lord's table as a church without divisions, recognizing the church universal of all true believers, regardless of denomination, nation, ethnicity, color of skin, social status, or gender. We welcome and thank you for the privilege you have given us of being one in Christ. We acknowledge before you that we have come to this time to honor and participate in this holy sacrament. We welcome all believers to our table together with us in your honor, not ours. For we receive from you, Lord, that on the night of your betrayal you took bread, gave thanks, and broke the bread to us. Your body given for us, that we might remember you. We receive from you in the same way that after the supper you took the cup, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, our Lord, we examine ourselves before you and confess that we are in need of your cleansing by your mercy and your forgiveness by your grace. We ask for that. We remember and honor you. We will eat and drink together as one according to your word. And so we ask that you would glorify yourself in us, through us, and with as much faith as we can muster, glorify yourself in the whole world. through the unity of your people in Jesus. Amen. Would you join me? And let's pray together. Jesus, you are here with us. You've promised that. We believe it to be true. And so as we share the bread and the wine together today, we receive it from your hand, one-on-one, personal to us, because of your name, Jesus. Amen. On the night Jesus betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. and he gave it to you. Take and eat. At the tomb, if you recall, Mary of Magdala, or who we call Mary Magdalene, was sitting there confused, trying to figure out what's going on. For the first time, in her life, according to what we have recorded in the Word, Jesus turns to her and says, Mary, her name. This is personal. We know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed after supper, he took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is the blood of the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. I'm going to die. My blood, my last will and testament is that you be children of the Father. Take and drink.
Turn to 251, and we are going to, I looked at both versions that were in the hymn machine. One had one less alleluia, and this one has one extra alleluia. So right before the end, you sing one more alleluia before it goes up. I'll lead it for you, so. Familiar song, the Easter song, with second chapter of Acts.
Risen from the dead.
singing, Christ is risen from the dead.
Yeah.